All right, so here's the latest as we're watching what's going on in the House of Representatives. Hakeem Jeffries is continuing his speech before the House. He has the privilege as the minority leader to speak, and he's been going on now. I think he started about when the show started, so I think he's winding it up. The Democrats are standing up as he's giving a fire and brimstone speech against the big, beautiful bill that Mike Johnson will vote. And they say we're going to be able to get that vote started within an hour. Now, over at the White House, they're watching this, waiting to see if they're going to get it past the finish line and to the president by the 4th of July. Still has an opportunity. We'll see. Let's go check in with Jared Halperin, who from Fox News covers the White House and the comings and goings of President Trump. He's our guest now on News Radio WRVA. Jared, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, it's been a late night for sure into an early morning here at the White House. And if this gets across the finish line, and listen, all indications are it will. This is an extraordinary political victory for President Trump. He staked really most of his legislative agenda into this one big, beautiful bill, right? This mega policy spending tax bill. That is probably going to set up the midterm message, I would imagine, because Democrats are now going to spend the next year and a half talking about what's in it, what it does for their constituents. But listen, this was another example, I think, of House Republicans being at a disadvantage. The numbers weren't there. They have a very slim majority. A lot of folks counting them out, saying, you know, can Mike Johnson pull another rabbit out of his hat? And he appears to have done it, and he is giving an awful lot of credit to the president and the president's team for moving the needle here. Yesterday, a lot of rank-and-file lawmakers, both sort of those fiscal conservative Freedom Caucus types as well as some of the moderate holdouts, met here at the White House, spoke to the president. This bill is not going to change. What the Senate passed is what the House here is going to vote on. So the question, I think, is going to become what kind of concessions were these holdouts able to get? Is it in the form of executive orders that could assuage some of their concerns? Is it promises on additional kind of spending bills and spending cut bills that the president will throw his weight behind? I think those are the questions we're asking here, and hopefully we'll get some answers as this vote gets underway here, probably in Hakeem Jeffries. So leaders, the top two, the Speaker of the House and the minority leader, get what are called magic minutes. So every member of the House gets to speak for 1 minute in a debate, but they are untimed minutes for leaders. So that is why Hakeem Jeffries is able to kind of do a filibuster-esque kind of speech here. You saw several years ago when Republicans were in the minority, Kevin McCarthy gave, I want to say it was like 5 or 6 hours to delay a vote. So, you know, these things happen. It's part of the process, and it's part of what Democrats can do because they don't have the votes anymore to stop this.
Jared, now that we're looking at this, it's the it's at the finish line. How big of a Hail Mary was the one big, beautiful bill? Because it's going to get there by the skin of its teeth.
I mean, it was risky. The bigger legislation gets, the riskier it always is. And if you remember at kind of the beginning of this process, there was an internal debate between the House and the Senate Republican leadership about whether or not to do one big, beautiful bill or break it up into two or three bills. And if you recall, the name One Big Beautiful Bill kind of came on because President Trump came around to the House side and said, let's just do one big, beautiful bill instead of breaking it up. There was an idea that, you know, they could have done kind of the tax extension aspect of it by itself and then done a second round of the border enforcement and the Medicaid and those kinds of elements. But there's risk with that, too, because if you are somebody that likes the tax cuts but doesn't like maybe the other aspects, you can vote for one and not the other. This kind of forces all Republicans to hang in there together and vote in block. And I think that's what we're going to see happen here. So you're right. It was a risk to put everything together. But it was also a window of opportunity that you're not going to potentially have for very long. This is a point in Republican governance where they have the presidency, the House, and the Senate. You don't know what midterm elections are going to look like. Historically, they don't go great for the president's party, right? So they may have only had a window here of a little bit of time to push through this kind of policy agenda. You saw President Biden do the same thing in the first 2 years of his presidency, right, with the Inflation Reduction Act. Why did they push that through so early? Because there was concern that they weren't going to hold on to the House or the Senate in the second half of that administration, and you have to get everything done in the first 2 years. So there was some strategy for sure involved in kind of wrapping it all up in the one bill, putting it on the floor, and seeing if you can get it across the finish line.
This isn't across the finish line yet, but we can start figuring out who the winners and losers are. Obviously, the winner is going to be Mike Johnson. It's going to be President Trump. It's going to be Senator Thune. There's some big losers. In the short term, there's some big losers.
Yeah.
We already saw Tom Tillis says he's not running for re-election. I got to imagine the president's wrath is going to come from Massey, Chipperoy, and some of the other obstructionists on the Republican side. What are you hearing as far as the losers and what's going to happen with them?
Well, let's see. I think, you know, it's hard when you have big bills to kind of sometimes determine what the impact is right away. The winners and losers of this bill are going to be, at least politically, right, are going to be determined by how voters are impacted by this. A year from now, do voters like the tax rates? Do they like how Medicaid cuts are being implemented? Do they like kind of the other policy enforcement measures in this? If this is a political winner from the electorate, then it is going to be great for the president. It's going to be great for Mike Johnson. It's going to be great for John Thune. If sentiments on this bill turn over the next year and people are like, I don't, you know, it is bringing up cost, whatever. They don't like the Medicaid aspect of it. Hospitals in rural parts of the country are not being able to provide the same services. Those three people are going to be kind of at the mercy of voters. And you could see Democrats, I think, already start to write their campaign pitches about what they think the harms of this legislation will be. So a lot of this is just going to be in the eyes of the voters, and kind of a year from now, a year and a half from now, how do they view what this bill accomplished? The Inflation Reduction Act that Democrats got across the finish line started off pretty popular and became much less popular as time went on. It's one of the reasons that the midterm elections did not go well. It's one of the reasons that voters blamed the president and his party last year for the inflation and the rising cost of groceries and gas.
We're talking with Jared Halpern right now from Fox News. He's up in D.C. covering the president. All right, we just have a couple minutes here, and I know you're busy, but I was going to ask you the president's movements for the rest of the day. I know there's the trip to Iowa. Now we're going to have the official kickoff of USA 250. What's the president's agenda? Where is he going to be?
You're right. He's going to go to Iowa tonight for that big rally. I imagine he'll talk a lot about this bill. I wonder if he'll talk earlier as well. He doesn't have anything else on the schedule that is open. He is meeting this afternoon with the First Lady, with Idan Alexander. He is one of the Israeli hostages that was recently released from Gaza. But they've left the schedule, I think, flexible because they did not know how quickly this might get across the finish line. Yesterday, the president spent most of his time with advisors, with members of Congress, trying to lobby and do all of that. So we'll see kind of where this goes with the president's day. I imagine if this gets across the finish line here in the next hour or two, we could see or hear from the president, who'll certainly want to do a victory lap.
And then I think tomorrow there's a flyby, and then, you know, of course, fireworks. It's always special in Washington, D.C., so it should be a nice kickoff of USA 250.
Which is next year. The 250 celebration's next year, but you're right. The White House is kind of set up a year-long celebration. This thing in Iowa tonight at the Iowa State Fair is being billed as kind of the kickoff to the 250 year, which will be celebrated next year. But certainly we'll have a lot of events leading up to it, and you'll see that tonight. Tomorrow, obviously, the Capitol fireworks are always a stunning display. There could be some flyovers. There'll certainly be military bands that perform. That is always the case. And as has become tradition over the last couple of decades, the president will host military families here at the White House for a 4th of July picnic.
That's outstanding. I'm going up. Actually, I got a tour next week. My son's coming to town. We're going to be coming up and going on a tour a week from today, actually. I'll take the day off and go up and take him up to the White House. Around D.C., what is your favorite thing to see that just reminds you of how special our nation's capital is?
So I'm fortunate that I have, you know, some credentials. When I covered Capitol Hill for a long time, my favorite thing to do was to stand in the rotunda after the building had closed to the public. It was quiet, it was empty, and that for me kind of gave you a sense of the gravitas of that place. You know, covering the White House as I do now, just walking in those gates every day is special. It's not something that everybody gets to do. It is a responsibility, certainly. And it's a good reminder that there are a lot of countries around the world where there is not a press that can scream out questions and go maybe in a back and forth with their leader. And that is something that I don't take for granted.
Jared, listen, I appreciate you coming on with us. I appreciate all the hard work. We hear your reports all day long here on News Radio WRVA, and I just wanted to wish you a very happy Independence Day, and thank you for all your hard work.
To you, too. Happy July 4th, everybody.
Thank you so much. We'll catch up with you soon. Jared Halperin joining us from Fox News. We'll continue. It's News Radio WRVA.